I just want to read one scripture verse out of chapter 5, 17, and then we'll go tonight with, we're going to be in 5, 22 to 42. So it says, "Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him," which is the sect of the Sadducees. Remember the difference between the Sadducees, how you know the difference? The Sadducees were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees weren't Pharisee because they loaded judgments and things on other people. That's how you tell the difference. It's true. And it says, and they were filled with indignation. And it's interesting that word indignation means jealousy. And so every time these guys get into trouble, you think, well, what's the matter with them? Because if we got into trouble and if I got thrown into jail, you'd say, what's the matter? What'd you do wrong? These guys aren't doing anything wrong at all. They're just preaching Jesus. But this indignation rises up. And the word literally means jealousy. Now, you can get our study on envy and jealousy and see an in-depth study, but this is basically the difference between envy and jealousy. Envy is based on facts, and jealousy is based on feelings. Envy is based on facts of I see, I sees, I want. Okay? And jealousy is based on feelings, I perceive and I believe, because it's all based on feelings. I perceive that they're talking about me or that whatever, and you get jealous of somebody because they have what you want and position that you want. So that's the difference. Envy is based on facts. I see and I seize, I want it. And the jealousy is the feelings. I perceive that so-and-so is going to do better. Remember the story I told you of the holy man that the enemy kept trying to get at and he couldn't get at him? Right? Satan sends the minions. And so the enemy says, you're using all the wrong things with this guy. He's a holy man. He prays and he fasts and he lives out in the desert. You can't get a hold of him through all these, you know, various fundamental things. Stand back and watch the master. So Satan goes and whispers in his ear, your brother has become the bishop of Antioch. And the guy seizes up with anger. Because why? Because he's the holy man. He should be the bishop. See? The enemy knows right where your Achilles heel is. And he'll whisper in your ear. So these guys, they've got this indignation, and all the apostles are doing is they're just standing in the temple and they're preaching Jesus, and people are getting healed and people are getting added to them day by day, and they're jealous. So we go to Acts 5, 22, and now you've got the officials came and did not find them in prison. They returned and reported and said, indeed, we found the prison shut securely. So what had happened was they threw Peter in jail, right? And all of a sudden, the angel came and opened the door, and they're not there anymore. Okay? Well, why'd they end up in jail? For no good reason. For no good reason. They're not found in prison because there was no guilt found in them. The Lord opened the doors, and out they went. So, here's a little story of Joseph. Joseph was a thief. He was tried and convicted without a word of defense. What could he say? He and everyone else knew he was guilty. One day, while serving his term in a Berlin prison, he received an unexpected visitor. Touring the prison that day was Frederick the Great, the man who reigned over Prussia from 1740 to 1786. Why are you here? He asked one man. I'm innocent, the man insisted. They convicted the wrong guy. What about you? The king inquired of another inmate. I couldn't have committed the crime. I was with a friend. Man after man fell on his knees and begged the king for pardon, each insisting on his innocence. Then Frederick addressed Joseph. Why are you here? The king asked. Armed robbery, your majesty. And are you guilty? Yes, indeed, your majesty. I entirely deserve my punishment. Joseph lowered his eyes as the shame of his crime poured over him. Warden, the king barked. Have a guard release this guilty wretch at once. I will not have him be kept in this prison where he would corrupt the fine, innocent people who occupy it. Now look, in verse 28, let me just read this. It says, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter said, with the other apostles, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's the gist of it. Are you going to obey God or are you going to obey man? I've got so many people that have such fear of man. I still have some. Most of it got burned out, but I still have some. And when you have fear of man, you can't have fear of God, because you can't have both. And Proverbs says, fear of man is a snare unto you. And the pastor told me about that. The snare means a hook in the nose. This is literally what the Assyrians would do when they would capture people, is that they would put a big fish hook in their nose and run a chain through it. So everybody went into the city, bowed down like this, because they didn't want their nose ripped out. And that's what happens. When you have fear of man, you are bowed down and you are controlled by this fear instead of the fear of God. These guys had the fear of God. They said, what are these? These guys are fishermen. They don't know. They speak with boldness. Remember we talked about that, with boldness. But these guys are speaking on behalf of the Lord. Don't teach in this name. I have had so many, and I've been one of them, Christian counselors who have been told not to speak in the name of Jesus or you're going to lose your license. I had a dear friend who was a psychiatrist, and he was the only Christian psychiatrist. I mean, that's an oxymoron. Christian psychiatrist. And he did a great job. I would refer all the people to him because at least I knew they're going to get Christian with their medication. And they're, well, you know, and the board of psychiatry took his license away because he shared his faith. You think that doesn't happen, but this state is one of the worst states for that, persecuting Christians. Had another one who was an elder at a church, along with being a licensed counselor. And he disciplined a person in the congregation who was a former client years ago. Story went, he did counseling for the wife and the husband. The wife ran out on the husband. He happened to be an elder in the church, was right in his church, so he's part of the elder board, and so they had dealt with it. She reported them to the Oregon State Board. He lost his license. Dual relationship, they call it. This happens. This happens. So, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve man? That's what it comes down to. I remember I had a license with the state and I had a licensed minister. When you walk that fence and you fall on the fence post, you hurt yourself. It's one or the other. Verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. You obey God, you're going to be an irritant to men. It's just going to happen that way. I have a dear friend who's a pastor in McMinnville. He wrote a letter to the newspaper about their stance on homosexuality. It's a wonderful letter, and he did it with love because they ministered to homosexuals. Do you imagine, can you imagine the fire that he got? People calling him homophobic and hateful and this and that. And when you read the letter, it's loving. It's very loving. When you throw a rock in the middle of a pack of wolves, the one who gets hit is the one who yelps. That's what happens. So if you're going to take a stand for the Lord and obey God rather than man, you're going to get yelps coming at you, and you're going to get the wolves coming at you. Truth causes a good man to reflect and repent, and truth causes an evil man to rage and revenge. That's how you'll tell the difference between a good man and a bad man. They were furious and plotted to kill them. Can you imagine? They want to kill them just for preaching the Lord. Well, it happens all over the world. Why? Because Jesus, the name of Jesus, you can say Buddha and Muhammad and Joseph Smith and all these other places, but you raise the name of Jesus, you're gonna get hackles. But are you going to obey God or obey man? So, verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Now, somebody with wisdom stood up. You guys know about Gamaliel? You ever hear him associated with Paul? He was Paul's mentor. So here's this guy. It says here, then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. That's usually what happens. Somebody claims to be somebody, and they, you know, I'm special. A number of men followed him, about 400, joined them, and he was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census. That's interesting. The days of the census. You remember that? This is when Jesus was born. Sometimes Satan has his counterfeits. A guy named Judas in Galilee during the census? Wow. And drew away many. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan is this plan of men, it will come to nothing. But it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Do you know that you got God behind you? So when people get intimidating towards you, the middle word is timid, which is a fear word. It's just that their fear, you're not to fear the fear felt from them. That's what 1 Peter 3:14 says. Do not fear the fear felt from them. Gamaliel, the wise guy, very wise. His name meant, my recompenser is God. What's that? Well, I have to go into Tony's, you know, dictionary and stuff and look up recompense. This is what recompense means. Compensation for services rendered or damage incurred to pay for. That's what recompense means. My recompenser is God. This guy's living in grace here. Listen to his name. Compensation for services rendered or damage incurred to pay for. Well, who paid for you? Jesus did. See, every time when we do a message, it's like, where's Waldo, right? Where's Jehovah? Where is he? It's right in this guy's name. My recompenser is God. He gives prudent advice about the treatment of the apostles, even though he was Pharisee. His counsel was, take heed, examine yourselves prior to reacting. That's a good thing to remember. Take heed and examine yourself prior to reacting. You know, we tend to react instead of respond. You never saw Jesus react. He always responded out of who he was. He always responded out of his character. I mean, really, and I don't want to be sacrilegious, but you know, when he's up on the cross and these guys are poking fun at him and stuff like that, I mean, he's the creator. He could call 72,000 angels. If one angel could kill 185 Assyrians, what do you think 72,000 could do? Wipe us all out 10 times over. But he didn't. He always responded out of who he was. He never reacted. You think, well, yes, he did in the temple. No. This is my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. What are you doing here? He overturned the tables. He didn't overturn them. He could have turned them upside down. So reflect, don't react. Don't ever react. And then recommend, keep away from these men. If the plan is the work of man, it will fail. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. That's what it says in Proverbs. So keep away from these men. If it's of men, it's not going to do anything. If it's of God, you're going to be fighting God. Now Pharaoh tried to fight God, and he drowned in a bunch of reeds. They call it the Reed Sea. Now, I don't know what's more of a miracle. You've heard this before. That Pharaoh's army died in about 2 inches of water in the reeds. or the whole Red Sea came down on them. You know, these archaeological people that don't believe in the Bible, you know, it's really the Reed Sea. So, you know, they kind of slipped and fell and died in the mud or something. Oh, come on. That takes more faith than knowing that the whole sea opened up and they covered them. So Pharaoh tried and he drowned. Satan tried and he was cast down, fighting against God. Saul tried and he got bewitched. Right? The witch at Endor? You're supposed to laugh at some of these. Haman tried and he got hung up. Now we're getting there. Where's my puns? I had a whole list of puns. That was really good. Goliath tried and he got stoned, right? Yeah. Herod tried and he was eaten by worms. Jezebel tried and the paparazzi got her. Come on, that's a good... You know, she got eaten by dogs, remember? Yeah, okay. You've seen one and you've seen them all, yes. That's right. Paul tried and he got his eyes opened, thank God. Because the Lord could have took care of him, but he used them, which we'll get to in a couple weeks. The apostles still got beat. Sometimes you get punished even when you do the right thing. How do you respond? I mean, really, how do you respond? It's all about attitude. If I've got a crummy attitude, and I'm going to be like, Lord, why is this happening to me? I serve you and this and that and what? You know, come on. We're servants. That's what the Lord calls us to. Do you pout? Do you close up? Do you backslide? Get angry? Do you rebel? Disengage? Make others suffer? Vengeful? Hello. Everybody's laughing like, oh my gosh, quit reading my mail. They rejoiced. Verse 41. They rejoiced. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name. Would we do that today? The shame for his name. Whose shame was it? It's not the apostles, it's the Sanhedrin. They're trying to stop this movement of God, and he's doing something new, and they're trying to stop it. Don't wear another's coat of shame that they try to put on you. But But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. All shame needs to go on the cross. And what we do is we end up wearing the thing. So I'll rat on Shelley since she's not here tonight anyways, but she did a great presentation in my class over at Shekinah, and she did this whole thing on the coat of shame. And she had this thing where the black, you know, things of shame, you know, guilt and this and that, and she put it all on there on Velcro and put it on this coat and then turned the coat inside out with white and put who she was in Christ, because that's been very meaningful to her. And it was great. That's what you're supposed to do with a coat of shame. Take it off. Don't put it back on. Now, I'll stand up here and say this, but I still bout with it sometimes. But again, what was prayed over, I think, Todd, when we were praying, is that you got to fill your mind with God's promises, not with your emotions and your feelings and your past and all that kind of stuff. Okay? But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. All shame has got to go on the cross and leave it there. Don't go back to the scene of the execution and lovingly draw the nails off this dead body. You have been crucified with Christ. And we go back there and draw the nails out. Leave it on there. Leave it up there. That's that old man that's dead. So, verse 42, they went right back to proclaiming his name. No shame, no guilt, no fear, no intimidation. And these are the guys that were shaking in the upper room, closed up there. Same people. What happened to them? Well, we've already gone in chapter 2. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on them. And they spoke with boldness. You can't live the Christian life by the flesh. Flesh profits nothing. Just can't do it. You've got to walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? So you don't carry out the desire of the flesh. You die daily. Do you remember we talked about this? DQ, when you go by Dairy Queen, you see DQ, say die quietly. Every time you go by Dairy Queen, when you see DQ, I want you to think of die quietly. Because we suffer and we roll off that altar and we complain and murmur and grumble and everything else, and that's what happens. We're a living sacrifice. That's the problem. We roll off the altar. Stay on the altar, die quietly, and the Holy Spirit will take over those vacant areas. Because what we are is Christian con carne, Christian with meat. You know what Christian con carne is? Devil smells a good barbecue going on, the flesh is burning up there. I'm going over to Atul's place, I smell barbecue. Let it burn. Christian con carne, Christian with meat, get rid of that flesh. And then you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. It's not a mystical thing. You know, it's not read your Bible, pray more, do this. You know, all these things, it's walking in the Spirit. Jesus is the only one to live the Christian life. Only one. That's it. So, all of me, none of God. Some of me, some of God. None of me, all of God. That's what it means. Get out of the way and let him live it through you. That's how you walk in the Spirit. It's not a mystical thing. There's too much of you. Get it out of the way. Let Jesus come through. He's back there. He's back there. He's in the shadow sometimes, you know, because you've got your agenda and all this other stuff. But he wants you to walk in the Spirit. And that's how you do it. So, we no longer have a home field advantage as Christians in this culture. I thought this was very interesting. This is a whole study on non-attendees find faith outside the church. But listen to this. 78% of those that were asked would be willing to listen to someone tell what he or she believed about Christianity. Even if they don't believe, they're still willing to hear, 78%. And 89% of those people that don't go to church have at least one close friend who's a Christian. Guys, stop waiting for Luis Palau and Billy Graham to do all the work. You've got people next to you. You know, the story goes about this guy who retired after 25 years in the place, right? He was a Christian, and he thought, I'm going to give an example by the way I am, and I'm going to live the Christian life. And so they had his retirement party. And this guy that worked in a cubicle next to him for years goes up to him and says, you know what? All these years we've worked together, I've noticed something different about you. And the guy's like, oh, good, he's going to ask. He goes, are you a vegetarian? Ask the Lord for divine appointments every day, because 89% of us have somebody who doesn't know the Lord that's right next to us, who is literally dying to know and would be open if you share. So don't be intimidated. The world will intimidate you. Open your mouth and share. And you go, well, I don't know exactly how to, you know, could I take somebody through the Roman road and lead them to the Lord? You know what? Just drop a seed. I have probably led maybe 10 people in 27 years to the Lord. Poor souls, they get in my office after I come back from Promise Keepers and I just like, you know, not getting out until he gets his knees. But that's very rare. Most of it's just dropping a seed, dropping a seed, dropping a seed. Somebody else, remember? Apollos watered, you know, Paul planted, but it's God that makes the increase. So you don't know if you might be that last person to share, but if you're putting seeds in there, sooner or later that's going to sprout with somebody. Okay? All right. Well, let's pray, and then I need to go get something to eat. Wow. Well, like I said, if you have acid reflux, you can go down to Davidson's. They'll take care of it down there. But I'm just kidding. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for this night. Thank you for the prayers for people, Lord. We always want to believe and ask. Always want to have the availability, Lord, for people to be prayed over, anointed with oil. And Father, I just really pray that as we go this night, help us to see that we're going to obey you and not man. We're not going to have fear of man, Lord. We're not going to be politically correct. We're going to do what you tell us to do. Father, give us opportunities. 89% of the people are out there that know another Christian. Please, give us divine appointments this week, wherever it is, school, in our businesses, sitting in the bus, whatever it is. I just really pray and ask that you would just give divine appointments and give us opportunities to share what really is important in our lives. There's a lost and dying culture, Lord, and we need to share with them what life is. And, you know, here's somebody like Brad who's willing to go anywhere in the world to go share that. Lord, it's just not right that people hear it twice before some other people hear it once. But I just pray that we're not inoculated in this country to the point where they're so stiff-necked and stubborn and hard-hearted. I'll soften their hearts, Lord. Help us to plant the seeds. In Jesus' name, amen.